welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everyone. Glad you guys are with us today. Going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk a little bit about what to do when you're having a tough bite fishing. And talk about a report coming out of Iowa that should have people inspired. That and more when we return with more Valley Outdoors. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us, plus a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Welcome back, everybody. Don?
Yeah, good to be here.
Ava?
I'm here.
Thanks for doing what you do, Ava.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for doing what
you do. Pushing buttons and turning us off when we don't say the right things.
Yeah.
Stop, start, redo.
She's got the whip.
Well, Don, I went out fishing this weekend.
About
this
time.
Last weekend. I know. Yeah. Well, I got my boat, so.
Oh.
Got the brand new Vexus.
You had to get it wet right away.
Yeah. You kidding? It was.
So how'd it work out for you?
It was awesome. Very nice. I happen to have the brand new DVX-20S, the Vexus, with the new design without the boxes. They have storage in the floor, jump seats, and the casting platform in the back, and the same hull. So you have that wave crushing hull, splitting hull. So it's just.
How fast did you go?
This is a demo. It's only got a 250 Pro XS on it. So
only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
57, 58 with a full tank of gas and everything I own in it. And two people.
Aren't you supposed to break it in?
No, it's a demo. They already had it broken in.
Oh.
Mine's still being built, but I got to get the boat so okay. I can have a boat to run for a month while the other one gets
built.
Completed. You know, and we've talked about it before, but the pandemic is just, it makes life difficult for everybody trying to buy something and tournament anglers to try and get their boats for the season.
I have to believe you're not the only one having these issues.
No, absolutely not. No, but the important thing, and the reason I'm telling you I went fishing,
yeah,
was when you go out and you don't get any reports from anybody, literally you're going pre-fishing for the first time. You're just guessing at what to do. So I went out fishing with a very close friend of mine. We went out and fished bridge abutments. And I was using a Phelps floater. And then I tried the little technique we did up at Cabotogama. Crawler harness and a little green prop blade.
Yep.
And lo and behold, guess what? It worked.
So and were you pulling it behind a bottom bouncer?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Then the other one I had, because there was a mayfly hatch on, it's always Phelps floaters work really well with a half crawler when you got a mayfly hatch going. That's just the way it imitates an emerging mayfly.
Sure.
Well, caught a couple on that. Next day, went back out. Guess what? Nope. Put a leech on. The Phelps floater. That was the one that was going. So it teaches you a lesson that you have to make sure that you are flexible. If you're saying that you're not going to switch your baits up, it's the spot that's not going. I think you make sure and think about what you're doing before you make that move. And are you exhausting opportunities?
So let me ask, when you hit the water,
mm-hmm.
Have you got minnows, crawlers, leeches, every live bait on board when you head out from the dock?
I usually will do leeches and crawlers. That's it. Minnows, it's early year, and I generally don't even use minnows because I'm going to run hair jigs or whatever. So that's kind of my
go-to.
Okay.
And if I need live bait, it's going to be a jig and a crawler, or a crawler slow death rig with the bend hook, which rolls the crawler.
Right.
It's going to be one of those scenarios that will do it.
I mean, I find myself, that's why, I mean, I use a lot of plastics, as you well know. And one of the reasons is, you know, if you're not going to hit the water several days in a row, stocking up on live bait, if you don't have a way to maintain them when you get off the water, you waste bait. And so I have more of a tendency to, you know, I'll maybe go with a box of crawlers, or maybe I'll go with some leeches if I can get them.
I'll have everything.
I'll have everything every time you go out.
3 dozen of each. Half. That's not like a given number, because either you're going to lose them if you're running a full crawler, or you're splitting half crawlers, and you can go, if you get into the fish, you can go through some serious amount of bait. And I will tell you, you can try to go plastic crawler versus a live crawler on a rig, but I've tried it. We tested it time and time again. A night crawler will always outproduce, and guys, you can call if you want. You can send us messages if you want. But a live crawler, when you're putting it in a crawler harness presentation, I've done it on Erie where the fish are on fire. They wouldn't touch the crawler, the artificial crawler. Sure. They would always, same color and everything, they would not touch that plastic crawler. Now, if it's on a jig where you're moving it and pulling it in a very erratic fashion, that's reaction, more reaction than it is following that bait. So big differences there. And that's really one of the things that really came to my mind as far as what to do, what not to do. And then, of course, making sure you have good, healthy crawlers is the other thing too.
Right.
Because it does make a difference. Yeah, it really does. So when it goes from catching, Don, then you got to do something with them when you catch them.
Well, one of two things. You can either put them back in the water or in the live well.
There is that, and I haven't had fresh walleye for a while.
Yeah?
And it came to mind that it's important, if you don't have a cast iron pan, get yourself two or three of them in various sizes. You never know how many guests you're going to have when you start telling people you're going to have fish. Cast iron is the most even heat. It's a flat pan. Tried cooking on a pan that had a dome in the center, and I cook a lot with olive oil. I pour the olive oil in the center, and it runs off to the side, so then you're laying the fish around the outside to make sure it's in that olive oil mix. And so cast iron is the most even heat. You don't get the burning that you would normally get. And, of course, it's even distribution of the oil or whatever you're going to cook with that fish. Blackening works great. All those pieces and parts caramelizing, add some lemon to it, some onion, and then but cast iron is a must. And it just reiterated that fact this weekend because it came out so well. One, and that cast iron, you said, let's try it without. And it's still good walleye, but it didn't cook the same way. And it made it more difficult to fry it. So cast iron is an investment. You have it forever. And you don't worry about scratching the surface of it, because
it's very easy to care for if you do it properly from the beginning.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, you guys. We've got some fun stories coming up. Talk a little about a DNR land donation, as well as the thing I teased at the top of the hour. Really good pheasant hunting from Iowa. Let's see what it's all about. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors.